This is from John 20, verses 1 through 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. Then he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but he rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture is a continuation of this story. And I want you to pay attention to what Mary is doing. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. This is Mary Magdalene. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. This is the word of the Lord. I'd like to go back in our Wayback Machine just a little bit to New York Central Park, where Olympic gold medalist Darrell Pace was to give an archery exhibition. And the event received coverage from all the media outlets, and shooting steel-tipped arrows, hunting arrows, Pace punctured bullseye after bullseye without a miss. And then he called for a volunteer. Feeling very William Tell, any of you? He said, "All you have to do is to hold this apple in your hand waist high." ABC correspondent Josh Howell took a bold step forward. He stood there, a small apple in his hand, a larger one in his throat, and Pace took aim from about 30 yards away. That's not quite half a football field. And everyone held their breath. And then, thwack, the arrow went, hit the apple, which exploded, and then went right into the bullseye behind. Everybody applauded, and Howell was all smiles, and well, he was, until his cameraman came over and said, "Well, I'm sorry, Josh, I didn't get it. I had trouble with my viewfinder. Can we do it again?" This is exactly where we find Mary Magdalene on Easter morning in our text, doing it again. She had been with Jesus from early on in his ministry, and she has seen him do amazing things. The lame have walked. The blind have received sight. People without hope have been revitalized. Mary has seen the poor and the outcast given dignity and their needs met. She, a woman, has been allowed into Jesus' inner circle in a time when that was extremely uncommon. The world seemed to be changing, and the light of God's justice and mercy seemed to be emerging on earth, or at least in a little corner of it. And then Jesus was executed. And she participated in the heartbreaking ritual of preparing his body for burial. She was there when the tomb was sealed and then left, weeping for home. And now, after such a loss of friendship and hope, she is asked to hope and believe again. Have you ever been in Mary Magdalene's situation? Starting from an uncertain beginning, moving along with your life only to be flattened. To meet with a failure or loss, a reversal so swift and terrible that you are crushed. And then you wonder, can I recover from this? Can I get up and do it again? Mary may not have had the most wonderful of beginnings. Her hometown, Magdala, was not known as an especially nice place in the world. And Mary Magdalene has traditionally been identified as the woman who followed Jesus into a banquet and then bathed his feet with her tears and wiped them dry with her hair. An incredible act of contrition and gratitude for which Jesus publicly declared her sins were forgiven. Tradition also says that among the many sins of this woman from this passage is prostitution. Now, lately, the scholarly consensus has identified Mary Magdalene as a different woman altogether than this woman. Mary Magdalene, scholars now surmise, was not a poor prostitute, but a wealthy widow, one who had control over her own life and money and who helped finance Jesus' ministry along with a few other women. Scholarly opinion has so changed regarding Mary Magdalene that Pope John Paul II issued a statement clarifying Mary Magdalene's role in Jesus' ministry and returned to her the ancient title given to her by St. Augustine, the Apostle to the Apostles. What has not changed is the fact that Mary was a woman, and as such, her options in life were limited. Except that Jesus didn't seem to care about that and about traditional roles. He cared about people's hearts and how God's love was lived out in their lives. Whether you were a beggar or a priest, Jesus didn't seem to care about outward status, only about your commitment to love, mercy, and justice in word and deed. And Jesus loved U-turns in life. As people realized that the way of love, justice, and forgiveness was the life-giving way to live and left the old ways of merciless competition and moral apathy behind. Have you ever found a door that had once been closed to you suddenly open? Perhaps recognition long denied is given. Or maybe you have climbed out of a dark pit of addiction or some truly dreadful choices to find a new life worth living. Maybe an illness is conquered, or a financial or career reversal is overcome. Suddenly, the world is a beautiful place and possibilities are opening up for you. How would you feel for such a person who has opened the door for you? Who has publicly fought for you and against oppressive boundaries that kept you down? Who has treated you as someone worthy of respect and confidence when others have not? Who looks beyond the exterior into your heart, your soul, and mind, and affirms what he sees? Someone who loves second and third chances. And then that person is taken from you, publicly humiliated and executed, and the world goes back to what it was before. Except this time you know in the very core of your being that it is unjust, that a beautiful and more excellent way is available to all if only people would see it and embrace it. This is where we find Mary Magdalene in our passage from John on that first Easter morning. She's so overwhelmed by her grief that she goes to the tomb to visit Jesus' body. The possibility of new life is quite beyond her comprehension. Theory, rhetoric, and theology, they're all wonderful things, but they have been swept away by brutality, prejudice, jealousy, betrayal, all harsh realities. Wonderful words and brilliant ideas are no comfort now, and so Mary weeps for Jesus. Have you ever been where Mary was? Have you felt in your bones the cries of despair and the tears of frustration of a young person as they rail against the stupidity and death-dealing nature of prejudice, bullying, or betrayal? Maybe your child, or your grandchild, or a student, or a friend. This is where Mary Magdalene is that first Easter morning. No chocolate eggs, no Easter brunch, no hallelujah chorus, just utter dejection and despair. And that's why she misses what is really happening. That's why she fails to recognize Jesus when she looks him in the face and thinks that he's the gardener. When you heard the passage read, did it seem at all odd to you that Mary Magdalene would not recognize Jesus? And now that you know that he was her partner in ministry for years, doesn't it seem incredible that she would not know him instantly that first Easter morning? If your dearly departed stood in front of you one morning, wouldn't you know them? Maybe you'd faint or you'd go into shock, but surely you'd recognize them, wouldn't you? Maybe not, if you believed in the core of your being that all was lost, that new life and new beginnings were an impossibility, that existence is totally bound by our powers and abilities and what we can see. We might well miss what is happening right in front of us. We might not recognize God's possibilities when they walk right up to us. This is Mary Magdalene as she beholds the risen Christ on Easter morning. It's why intellectual assertions and intricate theology are never enough. When your life is steamrolled by tragedy or action, accident, or oppression, they are not enough. Only God face to face will suffice. Only the Holy Spirit of God whispering to your soul, hold tight. There's more than you can see. Trust me. Only the Holy One calling your name and giving you hope and opening the door to new life. Maybe you are in a place of grief today, a grief that seems impossible to bear. Maybe you're going through a difficult time, or you're shouldering heavy burdens. Maybe you're not, but we all know that each one of us at some time will take our place in the pit. When those times come, remember Mary Magdalene. She is your sister in dark times, your companion in grief. And remember that Jesus came to her and called her by name. He lifted her up into a new day of possibilities beyond her imagining. Probably she still had to deal with in her daily life prejudice and stupidity, her own and others. The Romans still occupied her homeland, but they did not occupy her heart and soul. Jesus was sovereign there. And he had demonstrated to her that God's ways are far beyond our ways, and that by committing herself to God's love, peace, and justice, she had more life, more freedom, more love than she ever thought possible. When evil marched through her life, she had a hope of God's provision that would not be disappointed. For she had been able to say the words of truth and joy, I have seen the Lord. You must be able to say those words too. It isn't enough that Mary Magdalene says them, or I say them, or a friend or family member says them. You need to know God in Christ yourself. This Easter, as you celebrate the joy of rebirth and new life, make a pact with God. Open yourself to the infinite and holy one and say that you expect a reply. Then hold God to it and see what wonders God will do in your life to bless you and through your life to bless others. Amen.